We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Welcome into Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Pololo and Josh Jordan. Read their work on sportsmap.com and follow them on X at Pololo and at JoshJordan975. Gents, Bills come into NRG in week 5 after suffering their first loss of the season, getting thumped by Baltimore. Texans, same record at 3-1 following the come from behind victory over the Jags, a team the Bills mauled in week 3. A lot of questions about how good are the Texans this season? 3 weeks in a row with double-digit penalties, struggling to beat teams that on paper they should be better than. Wins are wins, no style points, but they can't give up 100 yards in penalties again and expect to beat a Bills team that will likely have a chip on their shoulder from last week, but in their own right have also struggled with penalties this season. Let's start with the matchup against Buffalo's defense. Joe Mixon didn't practice Wednesday, although he did last Friday. Probably a chance we see him on Sunday. Tank looks like he's on his way back to play Sunday as well. Charlie, do you think week 5 is when Houston's offense finally cleans up their act and operates more efficiently?
Paging Joe Mixon. If, again, no running game, I don't expect the Texans to flat out go off against Buffalo. The Bills are somewhat anonymous defensively, but they've been good in recent years. The Baltimore game got out of hand. Well, C.J. Stroud is nothing like Lamar Jackson as a runner, and Joe Mixon is nothing like Derrick Henry as a runner, much less if you're down to Cam Akers, Ogunbowale, or anyone else in there. But the Ravens, the big question with that team is supposed to be its offensive line with 3 starters having left in free agency. And they trucked the Bills for 271 yards on the ground. Again, no one has a more dynamic tandem than Jackson and Henry. The Texans can't compete with that. So will the Texans be able to throw the ball all over the lot? The Bills ditched their longtime safety tandem of Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. One of the guys playing is Damar Hamlin, who basically survived death on the field a couple of years ago. What an amazing life story as well as a football story. But he's not grading out well as far as he plays. So dog-eat-dog world. The Texans go after Hamlin and can salute him for what he's doing at all, playing football and living his life at this point. So a couple of new safeties. Bills pass rush, bit compromised. They gave Von Miller a moronic contract that he did not live up to and then was injured last season. Had been off to a decent start, 3 sacks in 3 games, but Von Miller, the Texas Aggie legend, 4-game suspension. No criminal charges were filed, but the NFL's investigation, they dropped the hammer, 4-game suspension from a domestic violence alleged incident. So A.J. Epinesa is the top pass rusher, but no one confuses him with T.J. Watt or a healthy Micah Parsons or Danielle Hunter, for that matter. And Ed Oliver, the former University of Houston great, who makes huge money to raise holy hell from the interior of the Bills' defensive line. Pro Football Focus says Ed Oliver is very mediocre so far this season. So it's an exploitable Bills defense, it appears. I'm just not buying the Texans can do it in the running game.
I'm right there with you, Charlie. I think that's going to be an issue. It's really on early downs where the Texans are having so much trouble. They are bottom 5 in success rate and expected points added on early downs. They're just awful. Bottom 5 in the NFL. And they're relying so much on C.J. Stroud to kind of save them on third down. And the penalties are also a big problem. You know, both of you guys brought that up. They're the worst. 40 penalties for 326 penalty yards, the worst in the NFL this season. So you combine with, they can't really get much done on first down unless they go to a play action pass. Anything else is just not working, which is what we saw from Bobby Slowick last year. There's so many situations where they'd be in third and seven or third and eight, or even worse if you mix in the penalties. So it'd be nice if they could find a way to get some, you know, easy pickup yards early on downs, maybe throwing the football, maybe with Tank Dell hopefully coming back, you can get him on the field and get some 5-6 yard little plays just to kind of to get things going. If it's going to be Akers, you can't expect too much there. And until they got thumped by the Ravens, the Bills were looking like maybe the best team in football, because as great as we know the Chiefs are, they weren't blowing people out like the Bills were up until the Baltimore game. So I think this is one where Nico might have to put on the cape and save the day again. Stephon Diggs, we got to bring that up. We had one revenge game with him against the Vikings already. Here's the second revenge game. I think this one gonna have a little more, I don't know, a little more juice around it, especially Josh Allen brought up a comment about how it's nice to have receivers that don't care about their stats a couple weeks ago, and everybody I don't think that was it. So, you know, and maybe if it was, they're not going to come out and say it. It's funny, after he split, Josh Allen said all the right things in the offseason. So did Steph Diggs. So, but you know, he's going to want to look good against his former team, and they're going to shift a lot of coverage to Nico. Why wouldn't they? So another way they could, if they're going to struggle to run the ball, maybe get the ball to Dalton Schultz a little bit early on downs, you know, pick up, like I said, with Tank, get 6 or 7 yards and just, you know, try and get to second and third and shorts. I think that's what they're going to have to do in this game, because the way they played against Jacksonville, that's not going to get it done against this Buffalo team.
The presence of Tank Dell just as a guy to run really fast, go deep, to loosen up the defense some. I think that's an element the Texans have clearly lacked. Nico Collins is an all-purpose, all-world so far this season wide receiver. 17-game schedule, on pace for more than 2,000 yards in receptions. Beware, Megatron! Calvin Johnson, the only guy to get to 2K in a 16-game schedule. He did it. You know, Stephon Diggs, there was no reason to think he'd come here and average 14, 15 yards per catch. He's not that type of guy, but 9.3. So he's pretty much been a safety valve, quick little curl, underneath drag stuff, not a whole lot of yardage after catch. They're lacking an explosive play component to complement Nico Collins, and that's both in the pass game and in the run game. The longest rush for the Texans 4 games in is 18 yards, and that was by Tank Dell. Joe Mixon had a 16-yarder in the opener against the Colts. That's the longest run 4 games in the Texans have by a running back. So nothing in terms of gash plays in the ground game. And without Tank Dell, it's Nico or bust in the downfield passing game.
Josh, you touched on this. A lot of questions about Bobby Slowick's play calling, staying committed to the run, even when down to their third and fourth backs. Guys, do you think at some point DeMeco puts pressure on Slowick to shake up the strategy?
Well, they haven't. I mean, the Minnesota game was just a royal ass kicking by the only undefeated team not named Kansas City. 4 games into the season. So I don't think you just totally write it off, but at least it's a mitigating evaluation component. You know, they scored 29 points against Indianapolis. They did put together a game-winning drive against Jacksonville with the Jaguars' best pass rusher compromised by injury for that drive, Josh Hines Allen. But I think, you know, if you want to call them alibis, I mean, no Mixon, who's the only starting caliber running back the Texans have on the roster. No Tank Dell, who is their speedster. And the questions in the offensive line. How do we apportion blame among the players, the O-line coaching, Slowick? Texans have been called for 12 false starts with Laremy Tunsil leading the charge. And Tunsil on the injury report this week with an ankle. I hope he doesn't feel he needs a little head start getting into pass protection because of a gimpy ankle. But 12 false starts in 4 games is embarrassing. The Bears are the only other team in the NFL with more than 8, and they have 9. You mentioned the 40 penalties, and those are the enforced penalties, right? Several others that the opponent had reason to decline. So they have to clean that up. You know, Slowick probably was getting a little too much credit too soon as being a boy genius, next latest branch of a Shanahan tree. I think C.J. Stroud makes Slowick look better than vice versa. But I don't think we're into code red panic time with his offense. But as we've hit on pretty much from the go, right, this offensive line isn't at least solid. It's tough for the offense to appear to be elite. And so far this season, the Texans offensive line has not overall graded out as solid. 14 sacks allowed, no running game. And certainly the Texans offense has not looked remotely close to elite.
To me, just looking at these box scores from the Bills outside of, you know, that butt kick into the Ravens last week, the least amount of points they scored this year was 31. So Texans going to have to put some points on the board, I think, here. You know, when they played the Dolphins, that's kind of a, you know, West Coast Shanahan type system there with the Dolphins. Dolphins only scored 10, but the Bills put 31 on them in that game. Common opponents that sometimes you like to go off of that. The Bills played the Jags a couple weeks ago. They won that game 47-10, where the Texans just barely squeaked it out last week at home. So I think this is a game where they got to come out and put some points on the board, because, you know, Josh Allen, he's going to get his. And the one thing that he's cleaned up this year, he hadn't thrown a pick. That's always been the big problem with him. So the Texans may not be getting any gifts, you know, so they got to come out. And since we're just talking about the offense, they got to be more efficient. They got to come out, score some points early, and keep the pedal to the metal. I think Tank being back, this is the week. CJ said we need to get him going. This is the week to do it. So why not? If there is ever a time, get Tank going, get him deep like Charlie's talking about, get him in the flats and make a defender miss, like I was saying, pick up an easy 5-6 yards. This is the week to go do that.
On defense for Houston, they will absolutely have their hands full. As you mentioned, Josh Allen, 0 interceptions this season, 69% completion percentage. Houston has been challenged to consistently bring pressure this season. And obviously Allen's ability to gain yards with his feet brings its own set of challenges. Do you think Houston's defense can do enough to contain Allen and give the Texans a puncher's chance of taking this game?
Better than a puncher's chance. I mean, it's ostensibly a pick'em game, right? Bills won, I think, is the last that I saw. You know, it doesn't feel like, well, not that it doesn't feel like, Will Anderson hasn't had a game where he felt like he just took it over. But he has 2.5 sacks in 4 games. And you want to go by Pro Football Focus grades, he's well above average and not as good as Danielle Hunter, who doesn't have gaudy sack numbers. Can they get home a little more, right? Pressure is good. Pressure is valuable. Sacks are better. Strip sacks are even better than that. You know, Josh Allen is the first mobile quarterback the Texans face this season who also can throw the ball, right? Anthony Richardson, scatter arm, basically rookie. Caleb Williams was his second game in the NFL. Sam Darnold tore them to shreds and made a couple of plays with his legs, but no one thinks of Sam Darnold as a run threat. And then Trevor Lawrence just isn't very good. Josh Allen is elite. He's probably the early MVP favorite, you know, despite the rout at the hands of the Ravens. You know, he's run for 11 first downs this season. By sake of comparison, C.J. Stroud, who's mobile but not a runner. C.J. Stroud has run for 2 first downs. Josh Allen has run for 11. By design, he's going to pull it down 4 or 5 times per game, right? He does not have what you'd consider a number one level wide receiver. He does have the more productive Dalton tight end so far this season, and Dalton Kincaid, who's a pretty solid target for him. They traded down and out of the first round, top of the second round. They took Keon Coleman, a burner out of Florida State. He has 8 catches. 1 Bills receiver has more than 8 receptions 4 games into the season. But here they are, 3-1. As Josh mentioned about Josh, a clean sheet in the interception column, 7 touchdown passes, 0 picks. James Cook's a pretty solid, versatile back that the Texans have to account for both on the ground and catching the ball out of the backfield. I would say at this point, I grade the Bills' offense as better than the Texans' defense. So turnovers, as always, are a tremendous variable. But the Bills average more than 30 points per game, right? Including scoring 10 against the Ravens. The Texans have scored 30 points in 1 of their last 14 games.
It's interesting. They're mixing this up a lot more with Diggs out of the picture. So you don't have like that true number one that you have to go attack with the Bills this year. I mean, the closest they probably have is Khalil Shakir. And he's been a nice player for them. I mean, 230 receiving yards. He's a little banged up with an ankle injury, but I expect him to play because I was watching that Bills game and he hurt that ankle in the game and got it taped up and came back in the game and played. So unless it really swelled up on him after the game, I expect him to go this week. And then Keon Coleman, Charlie brought up, I think it'll be interesting because Kamari Lassiter had a lot of issues last week against the Jags. Brian Thomas Jr. getting behind him and just the throw wasn't there from Trevor Lawrence. A couple of possible touchdowns there. So you worry, you know, with Lassiter, is he going to have the speed? And towards the end of that game, they put Stingley on Thomas Jr. And that kind of shut him down. But you only have one Stingley. I think the one benefit with Keon Coleman and with Lassiter, they both ran 4.6s. So there's not a huge mismatch there as far as speed. It was funny, though, with the gauntlet, Coleman had one of the best at the combine. It's, you know, that drill where they run across the field and they just pepper you with passes. And he had one of the fastest times, but one of his 40 time wasn't as fast. So, you know, sometimes guys just play faster on the field than they're timed. But I think that's a bonus for Lassiter. It's not just a complete mismatch there. So, but the big thing for them, though, too, is just the running game. You know, ever since Diggs left, they've really, it was really the back half of last season, they started focusing more on the running game when Joe Brady took over the play calling. So James Cook is going to be he's going to keep the Texans' hands full all day because he's not just a great rusher. He's already at 227 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns, but he's also catching a lot of passes too. He's over 100 yards receiving. So that's going to be a guy. We saw the Texans struggle with the Jags running backs last week. James Cook could be a problem for the Texans defense.
Yeah, I agree. Before we get into predictions, give me your X factors and final thoughts for Bills Texans.
The Bills are at very worst, by far the second best team the Texans have played. Right, depending on where Minnesota ultimately lies, certainly hands down the best team to come into NRG Stadium so far this season. The Bills have played conference championship games in Kansas City, so even if more than 75% of the ticket holders manage to be in their seats at the start of the game as opposed to the Jacksonville game, nothing about that is going to faze the Bills. The Texans are going to have to bring it. You mentioned the Texans' abominable penalty numbers, 40 of them in 4 games enforced against the Texans. That's exactly double the penalties enforced against the Bills, 40 to 20. I'm thinking if the Texans aren't at least even or darn close in the penalty column, and they better not lose the turnover battle if they're going to be 4-1 come Sunday afternoon.
I think for me, it's going to be Dalton Kincaid, the tight end for the Bills. I mean, this is a highly drafted prospect, a really talented player, and he's been asked to take a bigger role now with Steph Diggs leaving. I mean, really, their best two targets at this point are Shakir and Kincaid because you know how it is with receivers. They take a while to get going. And Coleman, he's had some issues. He got benched for the entire first quarter a couple weeks ago for showing up to meetings late. They wanted to kind of teach him a lesson. So there might be some immaturity issues with him, but Dalton Kincaid, I mean, this is an athletic, talented tight end. And, you know, typically you get those guys on linebackers and safeties. We've seen Jalen Petrie have some issues so far this season in coverage. So, and they like to get him involved on screens a lot with Kincaid. He hadn't really broken out yet, but they've also been leading so many of these games by so many points early. Outside of the Baltimore game last week, they haven't had to throw it as much as you typically would. So, you know, if this is a dogfight and they need points, I could see them definitely going to Kincaid to try and get some big plays.
Yeah, athletic tight end and a multi-purpose back. Be a nice game to have Christian Harris back.
Yeah,
he's eligible to return, but not ready to go coming off the PUP list. So maybe at New England, which would be a soft return.
Charlie, I concur on turnovers. Neither of these teams make a habit of giving the ball away. And I'm going to say a big interception or fumble could be the difference in turning this game. And I also am going to be looking at how much time they can give Stroud to work. For the first 3 weeks, Houston has allowed an average of over 4 sacks a game. They cleaned it up with just 2 against the Jags. So I'll have my eye on that. Charlie, you mentioned the spread at just 1 with Bills at favorite at minus 120. Vegas has not shown an ability to predict Texans games, though, as we have covered on this channel. So pick them on paper, but feels like a bigger task than just that. Charlie, you're up first. Final score predictions.
This past Sunday, 5-6 o'clock, I was all prepared to go Texans, right? They were lackluster and struggling past the hideous Jaguars, the Bills looking like world beaters. And then Sunday night happened. I think that outcome actually cuts against the Texans. I thought it set up nicely that Buffalo was going to roll into Houston, perhaps at 4-0, or at least look good in defeat against Baltimore. And just as when the Texans went to Minnesota, Texans aren't the 72 Dolphins. and pick the Vikings to win that game. You know, the Bills 4-0 coming on the road against a very credible Texans team. Well, they're 3-1. And so if they were thinking they were world beaters, and you know, the Chiefs are the back-to-back AFC champions, but we're the best team in the AFC. No, they're not. And they got really smacked in the face hard to drive that point home. So I think a chastened Buffalo team comes down here. And at this point, I think the Bills are a better football team than the Texans, especially if Josh Allen is going to continue to be as turnover proof as we've associated with CJ Stroud since his entry into the league. So add it all up and I will go with the same score as the Jacksonville game, but the visiting team winning. Bills 24, Texans 20.
It's interesting. You brought up Vegas, Brandon. Out of the Texans' last five games, including the playoffs, they haven't covered once. So I'm not so sure Vegas has a good feel for the Texans. Clearly the results say they don't. The Texans kind of play everybody close. Teams you think they should beat by a lot, you know, outside of the Minnesota game, that's kind of where they live. So I got the Bills taking this one 27-24.
I mean, who thinks the Texans are going undefeated at home?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go 28-23 Bills. I don't like predicting losses, but hoping for the reverse jinx. That's going to be it for this episode of Texans on Tap. We hope to see you back here live on YouTube Sunday, late afternoon, following Bills Texans. Come on in and react with us. And hopefully we're breaking down a surprising Houston wins. And until then, go Texans.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.